Welcome to Talks from the Bible. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. John 3, verses 1 through 7. Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. He comes to Jesus, confessing his faith that Jesus is the one who has been sent from God. The reason that Nicodemus held this conviction was because of the miracles that Jesus performed during his earthly ministry. The purpose of those miracles, the healing of the sick, the restoration of sight to the blind, even the raising of the dead, was to convince those who heard him speak that he was the one whom God had sent. Jesus was the one who had been promised even from the fall of man in the Garden of Eden to be the Redeemer of humanity. He was the appointed Messiah, the Emmanuel, as Isaiah the Old Testament prophet identified him. Nicodemus believes that Jesus is that one whom God has sent. Jesus remarks to Nicodemus that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus did not understand that statement. He questioned Jesus about being born from the womb a second time. Of course, Jesus was not speaking of a fleshly birth because he says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We all have been born of the flesh. We have come forth from the seed of woman. But we must be born of the Spirit. We must be reborn. We must experience the new birth. Jesus says, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 7, ye must be born again. Being born again is not an option that you and I have if we would inherit eternal life. If we would seek to be forgiven, cleansed of our sin, and restored to the favor of God, we must be born again. If we would hope to live in the kingdom of God and abide with God in the hereafter, we must be born again. Jesus declares to Nicodemus that the new birth is not an option, but rather an absolute demand that God has placed upon humanity for them to enter into the kingdom of God. We therefore must choose whether or not we will be born of water and of the Spirit. We must decide if we desire to live in the kingdom of God and reign with God when this old world has ended and judgment has passed. Ye must be born again. Jesus said that we must be born of water and of the Spirit. The water in this passage of Scripture is baptism. We realize that it is baptism and understand it to be baptism because of the place that baptism occupies in the eternal scheme of human redemption. Jesus associated baptism with salvation in Mark 16, 15, 16. The message of the gospel is to proclaim baptism so that we might be saved. Jesus said, Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or shall be condemned. Baptism, therefore, is part of God's message to humanity. Baptism must be preached. Baptism is in water. In Acts chapter 8, at verses 35 through 39, we have one of the examples of conversion that is given to us in the book of Acts. If one would read through the book of Acts, even only the first 10 chapters of this New Testament book, he would come to understand the necessity of baptism and the place that it has in the forgiveness of our sins and our being added to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this particular reading, Acts chapter 8, verse 35 through 39, Philip has met a man from Ethiopia. This man has been to Jerusalem to worship, and now he is returning to his homeland of Ethiopia. This man is reading from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And Philip opened his mouth, verse 35 beginning, and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Jesus is preached to this man from Ethiopia by the evangelist Philip. Verse 36, they came unto a certain water. The eunuch said, "See, here is water." Verse 39, or 38, they both went down into the water. Verse 39, they came up out of the water. Water is mentioned four times in this conversion of the man from Ethiopia. He is baptized in water. Philip baptizes him in water so that he might receive the forgiveness of his sin, so that he might be saved, so that he might be added to the Lord's church. This eunuch was reborn as he was baptized in water. John chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us that John is baptizing near to Enon because there was much water there. The reason that John was in this particular area baptizing was because of the abundance of water. We are baptized in water. In water, when we are baptized, we are born again. In Matthew chapter 3, at verses 13 through 17, John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness, and he is approached by Jesus. Jesus has come from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Verse 13. But John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus comes to John so that he might be baptized of him. The record says that Jesus came up out of the water. In water, we are reborn so that we might see the kingdom of God. We experience this spiritual rebirth as we are baptized in water. In Acts chapter 10, verses 47 and 48, the Apostle Peter has gone down to Cornelius, and he has preached the gospel to Cornelius. The message that he has preached is the same message that he preached at Pentecost. He preached the death of Jesus upon the cross. He preached the burial of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. All gospel preaching must center upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. At verse 47, Peter asked, "Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Peter commands Cornelius and his household to be baptized. Baptism is not an option, for it is the message of the gospel. Baptism brings us into Christ, Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. Baptism is an expression of our faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. We must be baptized in order to be reborn. Peter commanded them to be baptized, and that element in which they were baptized was water. Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, the Apostle Paul is discussing the relationship that Jesus Christ has to the church. Jesus is the head of the church. The church is the body of Christ. Jesus loves the church. Jesus has given himself for the church. Verse 26 of Ephesians 5 says, "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Jesus has cleansed and sanctified the church by the washing of water. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, the Apostle Peter says, "Which sometime were disobedient." He is speaking of those in the days of Noah. We go back to Genesis chapter 6, where we have recorded for us that the imagination and the thoughts of the hearts of man were only evil continually. But Noah, because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, having walked with God, was commanded to build an ark. God had decided that he would destroy the earth because of the wickedness and the evil that had corrupted the hearts of humanity. Noah was told to build an ark. He was given certain specifications as to how this ark was to be built. We must pay attention to the pattern that God has given. We must always follow the pattern that God has delivered for us. He gave Noah a pattern to build the ark. Noah had to follow that pattern and build that ark according to the specifications that God has given. We must be saved in the manner that God has given. We must follow the commandments of God concerning our salvation and concerning our rebirth into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. We must follow the pattern. Peter refers back to that day when Noah built the ark. When sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Noah was saved by water. Water is the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Jesus told Nicodemus how to be saved. He instructed Nicodemus how to be reborn. Ye must be born again. Water and the Spirit. Peter says that baptism, which is in water, doth also now save us. That is the message of truth. You cannot change the message. You must obey the message if you would be saved. You must follow this divine instruction from God. Baptism saves because baptism removes sin. We are reborn because our sin is forgiven. Our sin is remitted or taken away. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Saul of Tarsus, who is now known as the Apostle Paul, is preaching concerning his conversion. We have recorded the conversion of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9. Paul is telling us in Acts 22, verse 16, the message, the instruction that Ananias the preacher gave unto him. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Notice carefully that passage of Scripture and the great truth that it teaches. When we are baptized, our sins are washed away. When we are baptized, we call on the name of the Lord. Paul was instructed to be baptized so that his sins might be washed away and that he could call on the name of the Lord. This is the rebirth of which Jesus speaks in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. In Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter has preached to the multitude at Pentecost. He has told them bluntly and plainly that their hands were wicked in crucifying the Son of God. They put him to death, but God raised him from the dead. They're pricked in their heart. They're convicted of their sin. Oh, the gospel is to convict us of our sin. The gospel is not preached to entertain us. The gospel is preached to convict us. All of us who hear the gospel must be convicted by the very truth that is delivered from the Word of God. The multitude was convicted. What shall we do? Verse 38, Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter tells this multitude, you must repent. You must be baptized for the remission, the forgiveness, the removal of sin. Only when sin has been removed can one enter into the kingdom of God. Only when sin has been removed are we in a saved relationship with Jesus Christ. Baptism and repentance removes our sin. It cleanses our heart of iniquity. It purifies us. In water, we are reborn. In baptism, we are reborn. But Jesus also says that this rebirth is by water and the Spirit. The Spirit of God is involved in the rebirth of the one who believes in Jesus. In Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. The same command was given to all of them. The same condition had to be met by all of them. Has God changed those conditions for us today? Can we be saved in a different manner other than that in which those at Pentecost were saved? That in which the Apostle Paul was saved? That in which the eunuch from Ethiopia was saved? Are Cornelius and his household were saved in Acts chapter 10. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, was given when they were baptized into Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost seals our conversion. It seals our redemption. He seals our entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Ephesians 1:13-14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. This is the message of the gospel. All that we do in religion, all that we believe in religion, all that is involved in our salvation must come through the gospel. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit seals our redemption. It seals our place in the kingdom of God. It is the earnest of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee that Almighty God has redeemed us, and that we have a place in the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. The Holy Spirit is our seal that we have been born again. In Matthew 28 and verse 19, as Jesus commanded them to be baptized, He tells them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are to be baptized in the name, by the authority of God, by Christ, and by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is active in the redemption of humanity. We cannot be saved without the gift of the Holy Spirit having sealed our redemption as we are obedient unto the command of repentance and baptism. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of God at Corinth, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." There is one Spirit. Into that one Spirit we are baptized. We are baptized in water. We are baptized into the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is given as God's gift, as God's guarantee, as our assurance that our sins have been forgiven and that we have entered into the kingdom of heaven. The Spirit of God renews us. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." We are not saved by any works that we might perform. We are saved in our obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." Notice, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The two elements that Jesus mentioned to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 5, "Except ye be born of water and the Spirit, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven," are present in Titus 3 and verse 5. We are saved according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration. The word regeneration simply means to be reborn. We see regeneration every spring. In the winter, we witness death. The grass dies. The flowers die. The leaves die and fall from the trees. But in the spring, we see regeneration. The grass becomes green again. The flowers begin to bloom, and the trees turn green again. There is regeneration. Titus says, or Paul writes to Titus and says, we are saved by the washing of regeneration, by the washing of rebirth. We are washed in water. Jesus washed the church in water so that he might purify it. Ephesians 5 and verse 26, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost renews us. It revives us. It restores us. We are reborn by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God sanctifies us. The Spirit makes us fit, prepared to be the servant of God and to be a part of His divine kingdom. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God from the beginning has chosen us to salvation. Romans chapter 8 shows us the foreknowledge of God, the wisdom that God had in knowing that man would fall through sin, that man would need to be redeemed from sin, and that Jesus Christ would be that Redeemer. God has chosen us to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The Spirit sanctifies us. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 2, Peter says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. The elect have become so through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. In baptism, we obey the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. For by baptism, we are buried into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are buried with Him by baptism into death. And we are raised from death, having been raised out of the water of baptism. We are sanctified by God's Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, the apostle is addressing this letter unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Notice that in Corinth there was but one church. There was not a church on one corner of a street. And then in another part of town there was another church. And these were all known by different names, believing different doctrines, following different ideas. But they all followed the same message, the message of the gospel. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. How do we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? We are baptized, Acts 22, 16. All of those that call upon the name of Jesus Christ in every place are sanctified and called to be saints. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul tells this church, you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The Spirit of our God sanctifies and justifies us as we are washed in the water of baptism. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again, even by water and by Spirit. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.